We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Take this moment to greet five people and say, welcome to church. Tell your neighbor, we start at 10:30. Greet them and say, welcome, we start at 10:30. Please just move to the front. Just move to the front. There are too many gaps. Let's just move to the front so that we open up spaces at the back. Father, we thank you for this morning. We give you glory and praise. Welcome today. We know that you're in this place because your word says so. Where two or three are gathered, you are in their midst. So we celebrate your name. We want to celebrate your presence. We want to honor your word as we speak into it or through it or of it. We thank you for Lord Jesus Christ that you never bring us together for no reason. That is a purpose. For gathering us today from different places to be in this one place. How we pray that you may open our hearts, you may minister to us and deposit your spirit into us. We don't want to remain the same. We want to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. To finish the series on the kingdom manifest on the mount that we've been on for the last 5-6 weeks, and to highlight as we finish off this series. We could have stayed on 6 months, but we will finish off today and then start on something else. If you are here for the first time, we want to welcome you. Thank you for coming. Amen. And so please, after the service, the new people, we have a lounge for you through this door here. We've got a gift for you, so don't go away. We want to bless you with a gift. And for a while, your gift is downstairs in Norfolk Hall. Okay. It's called refreshments. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 7 from verse 24. We there? Hello? Are we there? Oh my goodness, we're going to pray. We've got a long way to go, so you need to help me. Welcome, Junior. It's good to see you. So, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine, in fact, let's do it this way. Why don't we stand and read together? Help me read, if that's okay. Would you help me read? Is everything okay? Yes. Are your homes okay? Yes. Oh my, oh my. Father, help us today. In Jesus' name. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Everyone then who hears. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For he was teaching them as one who had authority, May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. You can take your seats. Thank you. This is the finishing of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is now rounding off. How do we know? He says, therefore. This is how he ends. When he uses the word therefore, he's now saying, everything I've said is now built. This is what I've been saying to you. I'm summarizing what is of most importance to you. So he gives us a picture. The Sermon on the Mount is a picture of an invitation for us to come into the kingdom of God. That is the posture of the kingdom of the Sermon on the Mount. It's an invitation of saying, come to the kingdom. Come into the, enter the kingdom of God. And this is how you enter the kingdom of God. So it's an invitation. This is an invitation that come through the narrow gate. And when you come through the narrow gate, stay on the narrow road. And when you stay on the narrow road, you will be few, not many. And you then build your life on the rock. Then you will find the kingdom of God. This is basically what he's saying to us. Now, things are not always as they seem. I'm sure you've noticed in this sermon that things are not always they seem. There are significant differences between what you see on the outside and the internal reality. Is that true? It's not the same. So there are things underneath the surface that will point you to the difference of things. That these things are actually not, they might look the same, but they are not the same. I know this, I've had an experience. I bought something when I visited China many years ago. I bought something and which looked like what I thought it was. Only to realize after a few weeks of putting on this watch, it stopped playing, it started missing times. I thought maybe something, I thought maybe I started beating it up and on. The time would not change. I did all I could, change batteries. It just, until one day a revelation came to me that what I thought was a certain letter. Okay. May God give you understanding. So things are not what they seem to be. You laugh at me as though I'm the only one who has made that mistake. So Jesus, in this Sermon on the Mount, if you notice, he does a lot of contrasts. He does a lot of bringing two things. And then he says, compare, work through this. For example, he talks about, in verse 13, he talks about two kinds of followers. Two kinds of followers, I think it's in verse 13. Chapter 7, he says, narrow gate, for the gate where is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Then verse 14, he says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I'm just building a foundation for what I'm going to talk about today, so that you understand where Jesus Christ is coming from. So he says, the contrast here is that there are followers that choose to travel on the suicide street, on the suicide route. This suicide route leads to destruction, and it's wide. There are many people on it. And then he contrasts it with the other one, which is the heaven's highway. On the heaven's highway, it's narrow, and there are very few people on it. And now, obviously, he's saying the destinations are not the same. One leads to life, and the other leads to destruction. And then he contrasts again two things, two kinds of fruit. He says that bad fruit cannot give, cannot produce, or bad tree cannot produce good fruit. That's from verse 15 to 20. So he says there is a kind of outcome. And he says you cannot confuse that. There are two kinds of fruit. One is bad fruit and one is good fruit. And there are consequences for the kind of fruit that comes out of that. Amen. And then the third kind of faith, I think there should be something on the screen, but maybe. Then the third kind of contrast, he talks about faith, where he talks about counter faith, that's verse 21 to 23. Counter faith is, he talks about people that believe, but they don't practice. He says they confess that, Lord, I did this, I did this, and he says, I do not know you, go away. So they are professing what is right, but the practice is completely different. And then he contrasts this with genuine Christian faith, where these are the people that confess what they practice. They live what they talk. They talk their walk. And he says, such are those that do the will of the Father who's in heaven. And today, we're looking at the final two kinds of foundations. So all these are built on this last parable. Actually, what we read from verse 24 is a parable. Jesus gives a parable through his teaching. I wonder what that sermon was like. It was a powerful sermon that he preached. So he built it on this parable where he says, there are two kinds of foundations. One is the foundation of the sensible. I think the Bible says the wise. Sensible. And then he says, there is also another foundation that is built by what the Bible calls the foolish builder. This is how he concludes this sermon. So, as far as Jesus is concerned, whenever he's living this life, you live it, building it on two foundations. One is built by a wise man. The other one is built by a foolish man. There is no third way. So, let's talk about the parable. So, Jesus says, these words of mine, if you hear them and do them, you are a wise man who built his house not in the rock, on the rock. In fact, it says the rock. And then, as you will have it, the storms came. Now, there's something different about this storm, but anyway, we'll talk about that later. The storm came, the rain fell, and the wind blew, and the house remained standing. Then he says, however, the person that is building, and this one is called, the Bible calls him the foolish man. The foolish man, he also builds the house, except that he built his house on the sand. And as you will have it, the rain came, the storm came, and the wind blew, and the house crashed. And how great was the crash of that house. And then he says, let me give you some counsel here. Be the kind that hears the word and applies it. You with me so far? Okay, so let's get into the parable. What lessons can we draw from this? Number one, everyone is building on something. Tell your neighbor, you are building on something. Turn to the other neighbor, you are building on something. If your neighbor is too far, shout. You're allowed today. Amen. Amen. They need to hear this. Everyone is building on something. You might not be aware of it. You are building on something. There are two houses that people are building. You're either building the one on the rock or the one on the sand. Whatever it is, there is something you are doing. As far as Jesus is concerned, this is Jesus speaking. So Jesus says, listen, I know you are building something. He's concluding his message. So on the outside, here's the story. When I read this, this picture I have. These guys could have even been neighbors. They could have even been friends. They were building. Probably their children played together outside. They had lovely houses that looked lovely from the outside. Because everything was normal. You with me? Everything was normal. It's like no pressure. Two things look the same. When it's until you put it on a stress test and go for a basketball match and see whether it survives the first game. Then you the quality of what you're putting. There is no test, no stress. Everything looks lovely and the same. So But Jesus does not labor too much on the process. He doesn't labor on the external kind of thing. What Jesus wants us to point, he doesn't measure on the similarities. Do you notice that? Jesus measures on the differences. The difference is made clear when pressure is applied. Jesus wants to show us the difference. One man was a wise builder, the other was foolish. Now, the foolish builder, he made one terrible mistake. One. He made one terrible decision, not at the construction process, but where? So, I don't know if you've heard about the Tower of Pisa in Italy. Does anybody know? The Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy. It's a well-known example of what can happen when the foundation is not built correctly. They say that this it's about 55 meters high, but 3 meters of it are off the center. It's leaning on the wrong side by 3 meters. They've tried to balance, they tried to dig, to try and prop the whole thing up. It's not working. It remains leaning. You know why? It was built on a soft foundation many, many, many years ago. And you may also be interested that Pisa actually means marshy land. One day it will collapse. So Jesus says there's a foolish builder who builds on sand. Everyone is building. Question about that. Everyone is building. Decisions are being made. But see, Jesus is a metaphor. Jesus is not into construction business. He's using it as a metaphor. And the metaphor is pointing to my life, your life. He's saying, you can build your life on sand or on the rock. If you didn't know this, I'm announcing to you. And then he talks about the rock and the sand. What does the rock mean? Let's start with the sand. Now, sand, the word used there, you'll understand why Jesus used the sand. First, we need to know what is the fool? What is a fool that Jesus is talking about? Now, in the English language, we don't do justice to this word. Okay? People can kill each other over this word. Don't call me a fool. But actually, the word used by Jesus is worth. The word used is a moral. M-O-R-O-N. That's the word he uses here. What is a moron? A moron is a foolish person that acts and lives contrary to all sense and reason. That's a moron. The term sand simply indicates anything and everything Christ and his word. Can I say that again? Sand represents anything and everything that is not Christ and his word. So, what am I saying? Jesus says a foolish person builds on sand. You must remember that the background is that there were people like the scribes and the Pharisees. They were building too. But the Pharisees and the scribes were building close to the rock, but not on the rock. There are many people that are building close to the rock, but not on the rock. And the foolishness is expressed not so much in the choice of sand, built on the rock. Because how can you build on sand when there's a rock there? This is the point Jesus is trying to bring out, say, how foolish can you be to choose to build your house on sand when you can clearly see the rock is there? That's the point. So he uses the word moron.
You're quiet today.
So the picture that Jesus is using to build here, those that are listening, they then conclude that only a fool will build where? That is the point he's making. Because if you are wise, you would know that anything I built on sand won't last. So only a fool would hear Jesus' words and not do them. This is what he says. Anyway, so Jesus, you need to know your foundation. See, people are building on many things. People can build on materialism. People can build on their intelligence. Jesus then says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? So that is not proper foundation. Some people build on moral performance. For example, there are some religions that are heavy on the outside righteousness. Mormonism, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, Hinduism. All these are ways of trying to be right. But no human being will be justified in the eyes of God, because no works of man can impress God. For our righteousness is like filthy rags before God. So Jesus then says, how then do you build on sand? And obviously these are words from Jesus Christ. So he says, he puts himself and his teaching at the very center of the decision of a wise person. Jesus says, I'm at the center. It's either you're building on me or you're building on anything that will be sent to you. So God wants us to have hope in him. That is the only foundation. As far as Jesus, the author of life, is concerned, he says the only foundation that matters is the rock. People will say all sorts of things, but listen, this is Jesus speaking. His very first sermon, the preacher says, you've got to build like a wise man. I suppose you see the point, right? But this is not all. The second thing that we can learn from this parable is that every builder faces a storm or storms. Every builder. Remember, we're talking about life. Every life faces storms. Is that true? I'm sure you have gone through storms yourself. Is that true? If you have not, it's coming your way. Verse 27 says, and the rain fell. Put it on the screen. And the rain fell. And what happened? Floods. And what came again? Blue. And what did he do? It beat against that house. Now, if you follow the weather patterns and documentaries, that's not usual. What usually happens first? The rain comes, right? In fact, what happens is the storm. Is that true? The storm comes with loads of water, and then it floods. And then the wind comes, it doesn't even come sometimes, right? Now, Jesus says something different there. What comes first? The rain. But because of the rain, things overflow, and then we've got floods. Now, and then after the floods, As if it's not enough. People are already suffering with those two. But what comes after that? And it's not light wind. What does this wind do? The Bible says it does what? My goodness. What remains? After it beat against the house, what happens? But let's go to the first house. I think the second one. Did you? Let's start with the first house. Same pressure is applied. Same. Because whenever you are building, a storm is attracted to the building. There's a test that comes. There's a stress test that comes to find out whether you can withstand the storm. Language is used. The reason I'm going through this with you is to see that identical language is used for both the house built on sand and the house built on the rock. We're both Christians. Well, both of us might be Christians or even a non-Christian, but the storms of life will still come. And they come in different levels. The rain, the flood, the wind, and let's see if we remain standing. And so when I was reading this, I noticed that the test was thorough. The test was decisive. There was no missing the point, what's going to happen. Either you built properly or you didn't. And it was too late to correct. To correct the Tower of Pisa is too late now. It's too late now. We know that following Christ and seeking to live a godly life comes with pressure. Is that true? We know that enemies and persecution will follow us because we have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. The storms of life will come. We know that. But where shall we go? For Jesus has the words of eternal life. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:8, he says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Does that not sound like a man built on the wind came, the waters flooded, he was still standing. Why? Because he's built on the rock. So we will face storms of this life. It's true. And storms will come. But we know who controls the storm. Jesus' point is clear. Any foundation other than the word and the work of Jesus Christ is doomed to fail. It doesn't matter how long it will sustain itself up there, it is doomed to fail. So, how are we building our lives? You know, sometimes I think this storm, because of what Jesus has already said in earlier verses, talking about the day of judgment. You remember verse 21 when I was talking about this guy saying, I cast out demons, I healed the sick, I did this, I did that. And then he says, go away, I do not know you. You remember this verse? Where was that? When was that? It was during judgment. So to be consistent with the text, when he's now talking about the storm, there is a to the day of judgment. And when our foundations are it will be too late at the time to change the foundation. It will be too late. The storm would have come. And so how great was the fall of the collapse of the first house or the house that was built on sand? The point is very clear. The day of judgment is coming. Only those built on the rock of Jesus Christ will enter the kingdom of God. There is no third outcome. There is no alternative outcome according to Scripture. Have you noticed that Jesus had two choices, two options? The two sons, prodigal son, elder son. Either you forgive or you don't forgive. Either you are entering or you are not entering. The third thing that I want to talk about today is this. The outcome of the storm says a lot, not about the building, but about the builder. The outcome of a storm away. This one is on its way anyways. It's going to disappear soon. So, in the case of the first builder, our guy who built on sand, or rather the guy who built on the rock, you notice that even while it bore the brunt of the storm, the wind and everything, it remained standing. It withstood the might of the storm. And Jesus, for this particular case, he reveals to us the... what verse is that? He tells us the reason why he's standing. He says, it remained standing. Why? It was founded on the rock. Isn't that simple? He tells us the secret to it. He says, if we're going to stand, he says, we've got to be founded on the rock. Now, this is the first group I call believing obedience. It's called those that obey Jesus Christ. It's a response of obedience in faith to the words of God, to the words of Jesus Christ. He's speaking about those that both hear his word and practice his word. And he says, when we do that, we will withstand a storm. We will be strong. We will not be destroyed. In fact, when he says those that hear and obey, he's talking about those that are in the habits of hearing and obeying the word of God. It's their custom to hear the word of God and apply it. It's their lifestyle. This is how they live. They live by hearing and obeying. These kind of people are building on the rock. So these are the people that James talks about in James 1, 22, 25, where he says, do not just hear the word of God, but obey the word of God. Put it into practice. Put it into practice. Have you ever heard of people that say, who said that? And then say, so and so said, ah, don't worry, he's just a talker. Have you heard that expression? To be a talker and a doer. Walk your talk and talk your walk. So, our hearing must result in doing. It's not enough to hear. We must do something, because that's what means building on the rock. But there's a second group of unbelieving disobedience people. The second group is these ones disobey because of unbelief. To hear the word of Jesus, the words of Jesus, and not obey them is to build on sand, according to Jesus Christ. He says, you are building on sand. We are building on sand. So when the wind comes, at what point, can you put the verse 27 on the screen? At what point do you think that house collapsed? Was it the verse 27? Was it the rain that made it collapse? Was it the floods that washed it away? We don't know. Was it the wind that blew? Until everything disappeared after it crashed. There was nothing. You will notice that Jesus didn't even bother to tell us why it collapsed. For the one built on the rock, he tells us why it withstood the storm. For this one, he says, it's obvious. There was nothing that remained to build with. And so it collapsed. These are hearers, but they are not doers. They hear the same words, but fail to trust and to refuse. Where God says this, and we're like, I think I'll take care of this myself. I can handle this. You're building on sand. So Jesus mentions two groups, not three, two. Either we're building on Christ, the rock, or we're building on anything else which is called sand, according to Scripture. I've heard people saying, there are many ways of going to God or going to heaven. Ah, really? According to Jesus, there are two. One that's built on the rock will help you to find the way. The one that's built on sand is anything else the world comes up with. And it will crush. It will crush. There is nothing that will stand that's not built on the rock. Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our everything. Now, this is very important. We have to dig deep until we hit the rock. And the rock is Jesus Christ. His words and his works. This is what matters. Built on the rock. Now, let me conclude this. Verse 28 and 29 will shape our conclusion here. Verse 28 says, but when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. And then verse 29 tells us why they were astonished at his teaching. They were astonished because he taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Like ESV says, their scribes. These constructors are not. They were building their lives using material that was not from heaven. It was close to, but it wasn't from there. So that's why Jesus, when he came, he says, they say, I say. Rock. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. So built on my words, on these words. And Matthew wants us to get the point. These words, verse 28, these sayings are the very words, saying these words. Everyone in that meeting heard him. I'm keen to see if they proceeded to apply this word. So we know who was in this meeting. Jesus was talking to the disciples, first and foremost. So we have a bit of information from Scripture that the disciples applied what they heard. Yes, they had bumps here and there. Actually, they heard. We see it in the book of Acts. They stepped out and said and did what Jesus said and did. But what about the crowd? Because the crowd started gathering close to Jesus Christ. While the Bible tells us the crowd was astonished at his teaching. That's feedback now from Jesus' preaching. What does astonished mean? Other versions say, they were amazed. In other words, they'd never had such preaching before in their lives. They'd never had such amazing teaching from a powerful preacher. They were amazed. It's like, whoa, this is it now. This is powerful. They were blown away, as we would say in the 21st century. They were blown away by what they heard. I know, by Wednesday, Thursday, a friend meets you, you meet a friend. So, did you go in church? Oh, yeah, I did. About it was powerful. Really? Yeah, it was powerful. So go further and say, what exactly did he say? That's another question, isn't it? That's for another day. I'll call you later. I'll send you a link, yeah? Amazed, powerful teaching. Can I say something here? Amazement is not enough. In fact, this is for Jesus is not calling us to be amazed. Upon your life is not to be amazed by preaching or teaching. The calling is so that you may obey the word of God, so that you may obey his word. It's not enough to be mesmerized by the teaching in a church. It's not enough. In fact, it's being indecisive to be amazed. You've got to make a decision to build on the rock. So they were amazed because of his. They were amazed at the powerful preaching. But that's not enough. You've got to move on from there. You get out from the realm of amazement and wonder. Get into the realm of obedience and being transformed by the word of God. For how will they know us? They will know us by our fruit. That's what they will know us by. They will know us by not what we say, not what we preach. They want fruit. That's a group of believers. That's a faith community of God's people. They preach and do what they preach. And so he presents two options to his listeners that day. He says, listen, you are now responsible for what you heard from my mouth. So what are you going to choose? What are you going to build on? Are you going to build on the sand or are you going to build on the rock? If you choose to build on the sand, then you are building like a foolish person. Built on sand when you can see that it will sink. That's what Jesus is saying. Say, can't you see it? Is it not so obvious? For the disciples, that's why they left everything. They had something and they said, my goodness, what have we been building on? We now need to build on the rock. And they left everything to follow the rock. My question to the crowd was, what were they prepared to leave behind? What are you prepared to leave behind? What are you walking away from? Are you still being fooled by sand? That looks like it's a rock, but it's not a rock. You see, you might be fooled now until the storm comes. Then it will reveal what our lives are sitting on. This is the matter, issue. This is the issue of the kingdom of God. This is the serious matter of life. These are serious matters of the kingdom where God now says, what are we building? It's important because it affects your eternity. But by the time present, join me. It's important you know how to build. It's important you know how to build. Build your life on the word and the work of Jesus Christ. Then you'll get a different outcome. I don't know what you're building your life on this morning. Then wonder, take you far. This gospel, going somewhere with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the destination. The destination. Don't build on sand. I'm talking to someone now. It's a waste on sand. Jesus has told us the outcome. We don't need to think deeply about what the outcome is. We already know the outcome that when we build on sand, our house will crush. We know it. We're going to worship together today. And as we worship, I want you to think about what...
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.